Hi, this is John Gabriel, and welcome to the Mind Body Weight Loss Summit. I'm in Bali at the moment, so my connection is not perfect, but we should be able to have a great show. So this is the educational series for those of you who have tried and failed the conventional diet and exercise programs. This is for people who are ready to take a holistic approach to wellness, a mind-body approach, to address the real reasons why your body is holding on to weight right now and reverse it forever. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Philip McCluskey, who will be teaching us about the power of holistic healing. Philip McCluskey is a sought-after motivational speaker, author, and raw food expert who inspires and educates thousands worldwide about the raw food lifestyle, or as he calls it, the world's sexiest diet. After 30 failed diet attempts and the looming prospect of gastric bypass surgery, raw food saved Philip's life, transforming him from a morbidly obese 400 pounds to a fit, energized, and glowing 185 pounds. Passionate about the vibrant health and energy he gained when he lost his poor eating habits and emotional hang-ups, Philip has made it his mission to spread hope and health to others. He has appeared as a guest speaker at health events, festivals, CBS show The Doctors, Jack LaLanne commercials, and he has also inspired over a million viewers who have followed his journey on YouTube. He is the founder of PhilipMcCluskey.com, a source of advice and inspiration about weight loss and the raw food lifestyle, and he is also the author of 5 books, including the Get Juicy program. When Philip switched to 100% raw food lifestyle in 2006, he lost over 215 pounds, as well as the depression, anxiety, embarrassment, lethargy, and illness that nagged him most of his life. In their place, he found renewed energy, vitality, and happiness, as well as his fitter, healthier self. He inspires others to begin their own healing journey and not only lose extra weight, but gain vibrant health, mental clarity, a sense of purpose, and a renewed passion for life. As you're listening today, you can learn more about Philip McCluskey and his work at getjuicycleanse.com or read his blog at philipmccluskey.com. So, Philip, can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, how you first discovered the power and the weight loss benefits of raw food and what made you decide to start eating more healthy and more raw foods and things like that?
Sure, John. I literally tried about 30 different diets. I mean, everything from hypnotists, counselors, coaches, therapists, doctors, nutritionists, and nothing really seemed to work. And at the time, I had actually gone to, and I thought I was going to get gastric bypass surgery where they go in and cut part of your stomach and this and that. And I had to go through a month of tests to sort of satisfy my insurance company just to get to the point where they said, you can go ahead and do it. And after a month of tests and sleeping overnight in the hospital and sleep apnea tests and heart and breathing and everything you can think of, they finally gave me the approval. And I was about to have it done when something inside me said no, and in that moment I knew I must have missed something. And at the same time, I was reading a book about water fasting, and they had mentioned the words raw food. And I knew they weren't talking about sushi. They must have been talking about something else. So I immediately went on Google and did a search, and there wasn't tons of information out about that time. It's about 6 or more years ago. But it was enough to get me interested and excited. And I remember literally going on to Amazon.com and ordering about 15, 20 books, and I just started reading. And it made sense. It was the first thing that I read that really made sense to me. And it was the least likely thing for me to do. I mean, I literally liked about 4 vegetables at the time, all of which were probably hamburger toppings. I tried it out anyway, and I literally switched overnight to 100% raw vegan diet and maintained that for the next 5 years. And that was really the catalyst for change in my life.
For me, what I discovered is that, you know, people talk about vegetarian and vegan and things like that. And to me, there's a huge difference between raw and vegetarian. And I don't know if you agree with that, but raw, like vegetarian, if it's done wrong, can be an absolute disaster because you're eating processed foods, you're eating a lot of starchy lentils and beans, and what happens is your body just starts craving more and more starch, your insulin levels go up, your body goes into this kind of perpetual fat storage mode. You're also missing trace nutrients, and so you're always hungry all the time. But raw takes care of all that because raw is not starchy, it's not processed. There's no way to get around the fact that raw is real food that really, really nourishes you. But I find for myself, I always tell people I'm a raw food vegan that eats chicken, meat, and fish. But in a sense, it's true. In a sense, it's true because most of what I eat is raw except meat. I do eat meat, chicken, and fish. It's just I don't eat processed food. I don't eat man-made food. I don't crave them anymore. What do you do for, you know, to make sure you're getting all the protein and all the iron and B vitamins and things like that you would otherwise get in meat? I think it's a real challenge, I think, to do that correctly. So what do you do for that?
Sure, great question. Well, when I first switched over, I did have that thought, and I was questioned a lot about that. And it was funny because one of the things that I had noticed in my life was as I was eating pretty much fast food for three meals a day, upwards of 7,000 to 10,000 calories a day, I had never thought about if I was getting enough vitamins or nutrients or anything. All I was doing was eating. And then all of a sudden I switched to the healthiest diet possible. And then here I was thinking about, am I getting enough? But before I was basically eating food that, you know, I consider not even food, and I wasn't ever thinking about it. So here I am switching over, and I'm thinking about it often because I heard so much about the things. And like you said, I had met vegetarians who had been vegetarian for 15 years and would still be 75 pounds overweight, and I just didn't even understand that. I always just figured, you know, you'd be super trim if you ate that. And then I realized, you know, they mainly ate pasta. I met a few vegetarians who didn't actually like vegetables. And I thought that was kind of odd. And it would just be, you know, processed foods all the time. So, well, the minute I switched over to the raw food lifestyle, I immediately eliminated all that. So all breads, grains, all that stuff, pasta, that was all out of the equation. And I was just eating fresh foods. And I did recognize that there was some talk about, you know, are you getting enough B12 and things like that. And I just figured I'd remedy that right off the bat and just have a great daily multivitamin. So I didn't have to worry about my B12. It was included. I didn't have to worry about anything else. It was getting that stuff topped off. But more importantly, I started really incorporating lots of greens. And I had never really had much greens in my life, but as I started to eat them, even just a little bit, my body craved them to such an extent that it actually blew my mind. I mean, when I first tried kale, I thought it was the most horrible thing ever. And then just a few weeks, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks later, my body started craving kale because I wasn't giving it the processed foods and all the garbage that I was having before. It actually started to crave real nutrition. And so I started including it in my smoothies. I started having it in my juice. I started making green juice and green smoothies. And, you know, I'd be making upwards of 1/2 gallon or 2 liters of a smoothie, sometimes even more, sometimes a couple of those a day. But, you know, I was about 180 kilos, too, or 400 pounds. So there was a lot going on there. And I was also being very generous with enjoying good, healthy fats, like avocados and nuts and seeds. So I was pounding on the greens and, of course, getting, protein from greens and from different things like chlorella and spirulina and, you know, some of the algae out there and trying to incorporate as much of that in my diet. But I always had the great multi as a backup.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, everything you said, the multivitamin I don't have much use for personally because it's so chemicalized, and to me it's processed and it's hard for the body to digest. But if you're taking things like chlorella, spirulina, and you're going really heavy on greens, then yeah, you can do it. You're getting all the nourishment you want. But wasn't it just this enormous, like, shock to your system? I mean, you're eating 7,000 to 10,000 calories of junk food a day, and I know what that's like. And then you're eating spirulina, chlorella, and having 2 liters of green smoothies a day. I mean, there must have been so much detoxing going on. And your body craving different foods, I mean, wasn't that just an enormous shock?
Well, you know, that's usually a big question. People say, gosh, you must have detoxed so much. And the funny thing was is when I switched over to this lifestyle, I made one rule for myself, and that was you can eat whatever you want except just keep it raw. And so at the time, I was having monster salads. Like, I'd always think of it like, when you go to an Italian restaurant and it's family style and they put a salad on the table for 6 people, everyone at the table, that's what I was eating. But not only that, I was having upwards of 2 to 3 avocados in that salad. So tons of fats and probably upwards of 10 handfuls of nuts a day. So I was having so much fat in my diet, I was still losing weight like never before, even in the past trying 2.5 hours of exercise a day and still blowing that out of the water with the amount of weight I was losing. But I think because I was having so much fat, the detox process was a lot slower than people would imagine. So when I started the raw food lifestyle, I remember for about 2 weeks I had a little bit of red blotching underneath my eye, and then it completely went away, and that's the extent of the detox that I experienced. It was actually quite a smooth transition, and slowly over time I started to eat less fats and less nuts and stuff like that. So I really didn't even notice any major detox symptoms because of the way and the approach that I took when I went on when I made the switch.
So let's be really clear, because I know people are asking this, what's raw and what's not raw?
Sure. Well, I guess the term raw is, well, they like to term it as anything that's been under 118 degrees. So there are some things that are dehydrated, but they're just kind of wicking the moisture from them or a little bit of the water from them. So basically it's uncooked. So some people will have broccoli cooked or steamed, and this is just it raw. This is, or blended up, and that's pretty much the extent of it. You might juice it. You might blend it in a blender, which is consisted of what we call a smoothie or creating a soup, a raw soup, and adding a little bit of water, and you can create your own fun soup. Or put through the juicer where you're not having the pulp and you're just having the liquid from the vegetables. But more importantly, it's a lot of salads. And I really got into salads. And in the beginning, I was really heavy with the nuts and seeds and making fun things and pâtés. And for dehydration, you can do a lot of fun things. You can make kind of like pizza and taco shells. And a lot of times when I first talk about this, people would think, what do you just eat, carrot sticks all day long? And I'm like, I eat definitely a lot more than carrot sticks. There's such amazing things that they can make now and so creative. I mean, raw restaurants in New York City that just so gourmet, you can bring somebody in there and they wouldn't even know if you didn't tell them that you were having some kind of different lifestyle. Just be like, oh, this tastes like lasagna. This is amazing. But you don't realize it's with zucchini and different types of things and cashew cheese instead of dairy cheese. And it tastes amazing, tastes great. And you're still kind of getting the same exact experience. So basically, overall, it's uncooked fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, seaweed, sprouts. Pretty much that's around it.
Okay, so I just want to tell you, not to make you jealous, Phil, but I'm in Ubud, Bali right now. Ubud is the capital of raw food restaurants in the world. And
I'm
just going from restaurant to restaurant. And like you say, the lasagnas and the pizzas, you know, raw pizza, raw lasagna, and I am just loving it. And I'm craving very little else. I'm having a lot of green juices, a lot of spirulina balls and chia seed balls and nut balls and raw pizzas, raw this, raw that. Still eat meat, chicken, and fish. And I know that it's important to me, and sometimes I crave it, and sometimes I'll go days and days without it. I'm just wondering, what do you think of that? What do you think of a raw food diet that also incorporates some animal protein?
Sure. Well, I know that a lot of people, including myself, have gone through a certain phase, a raw phase of cleansing is what I like to call it. Sometimes people will be raw for just try it out for a couple months. Sometimes they'll do it for a year. Sometimes they'll do it for 10 years. And then, and some people still are doing it. But, you know, to be quite honest, I don't know many that have been doing it as a practice for their entire life or continuously for a certain length of time. So depending on your what we call the standard American diet, depending on how toxic your diet was in the past, is going to be, you know, directly related to how long you may choose to stay on high raw experience or 100% raw experience, where you're really cleansing all of that old waste and toxins out of the body. And then you can choose to maybe build back up a little bit after that. So I have a lot of colleagues that have gone through the experience, some a couple years, some 13, 14, 15 years being 100% raw and loving it, enjoying it, but then getting to a stage where they're saying, okay, now I'm ready to incorporate a little bit back into my body, build up, but more than that, really create a new kind of relationship with themselves and food, depending on if you're a really heavy emotional eater like myself. I mean, before I went raw, I mean, I was either having fast food or something off the grill. And I didn't have any salad ever. I didn't have any vegetables ever. I would just, my dinner would be the biggest sized piece of steak that I could possibly find. And that was it. And I kept eating that. It wasn't digesting well, and eating it again the next day and adding pasta on top of that. And, you know, my colon wasn't very happy with any of that. And I just kept putting on weight, and 200 pounds to 300 pounds to 400 pounds, realizing, wow, something's not working right here. And so now, as I look back in hindsight, there's tons of people that have started to incorporate a little bit of that into the diet. And I really think it just depends on your constitution and what works for you. For me personally, I don't feel the best ever when I eat meat or chicken, but I have incorporated a little bit of seafood every now and then into my diet. And that does taste nice. And of course, I'll still have a big, massive salad with it as well. And so maybe that protein tends to be, before it was the main attraction. And now the veggies is the main attraction, and that kind of sits in the background, but it's still a nice addition every once in a while. And so I do enjoy it.
So what you're saying is really interesting, because for me, like, I have a very, what I consider a very sustainable diet. I love what I eat. I never crave anything other than what I eat. It's never a battle for me, but there's a huge distinction in my mind between man-made food and non-man-made food. And so what happens, I think, one of the risks is people do this raw cleanse, as you say, and then they go back, and maybe they say, okay, I won't eat meat, but then they start eating bread and pasta and man-made food. And to me, it's the man-made food that causes all the problems. The man-made food has no nutrients. It elevates your insulin levels and causes your body to go into fat storage mode, whereas animal protein, even though it's cooked, which is not great, but, you know, we live in an imperfect world, is your body understands it. So people don't usually draw the distinction between man-made and non-man-made. And that for me has been a key distinction, because I eat all of these enormously healthy raw foods, and I eat, you know, meat when I crave it, but I never, ever, ever now crave man-made foods. I never, ever crave them. And I know if I do eat a piece of bread, for example, I actually get nauseous. It tastes like cardboard. And this is 10 years down the road for me. So that, to me, I find is the biggest distinction. And doing it that way, I also find that over time I'm craving more and more live food. So it becomes a very natural thing rather than a forced thing. So it's something that I just, you know, people are listening, I just want to have them consider that they look at all raw plus meat, chicken, and fish, and look at it as man-made versus non-man-made. So it's just something I want to throw out there. And so the question I have now is, you know, when you first started, I mean, did you have someone to help you? Was it all on your own? Like, how did you get all that education and put it into practice so quickly?
Yeah, when I first started, I didn't know anybody was a raw foodist. I didn't even actually know anybody that was a vegetarian. I had zero support. I mean, I even remember going over friends' houses, and they thought I was doing such a disservice to myself. They would sit there and put steak in front of me and try to force feed me a little bit as of a joke, but not really joking. And you know, at the time I was like, guys, you know, I'm 400 pounds. I need to make a change. I need to do something different. Let me just run with this and see how it works. And so I didn't have any support, but one of the things that I did have is I had a strong desire and a strong will to make a change. I don't usually say it's willpower. A lot of people say, you know, wow, you've lost 215 pounds. You must have amazing willpower. And willpower always feels like it means struggle to me. And so I don't really think of it like that. I just felt like it was a switch that I turned in my head from, okay, you used to eat this way, and then I turned the switch, and it was like, now you eat this way. And basically, the way I talk about it with my clients now, it's just a priority change. I had a list, you know, if you write down what your priorities are in life from 1 to 10 and put them in order, health wasn't even on my top 10. I think the number one for me was comfort. I just wanted to come home, sit down, kick my feet up on the couch, rest my pizza on my stomach, and sit there and eat until I fell asleep. And, of course, that's not a very fulfilling lifestyle, but that's what my priority was at that time. And in the moment in time that I stepped in the scale and it rang to about 400, I knew I had to make a shift in my priorities or else I was going to be dead. I mean, there was times I could gain 50 pounds in a year, 10 pounds in a weekend, no problem. And it just didn't go off. It just continued to gain. And so I knew I had to make a change right away or else I wasn't going to last very long. And for the first time in my life, I had put health in the number one slot and everything else came after that. And so by me doing that, even though I didn't have support, I had my books that I was reading that I got online and reading about other people's experiences. But as I started to do that, everything else kind of came after health, and the decisions became easy. It didn't take willpower. It was just a change of my will, a change of what I decided I wanted for my life. And the whole thing, I mean, it took no struggle. It wasn't hard at all. I mean, people say, how can you say that you lost 200 pounds in 2 years? But it actually wasn't hard. It was a joy every single day because I had made the switch, and it felt good. It felt easy. And I didn't start to actually meet people that were healthier in the health movement until probably about a year and a half into it, and maybe about losing about 150 pounds by that point. And then I started meeting some friends and interesting people who were supportive and what have you. But by that time, I had lost so much weight that I was even supporting them, which was kind of interesting. So, it was the burning desire. Basically, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that was my motivating drive more than anything.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, I lost over 200 pounds, and I do not consider one moment of it a struggle. And it's 8 years down the road for me now, and there's never, ever a day that willpower comes into play. It's just not. Yeah. My body simply wanted to get rid of the weight. But one of the big things that happened with me was a strong emotional shift, because there was emotional things that were going on in my life that were causing my body to want to hold on to weight, not just to eat, but I discovered to actually hold on to weight because the weight was kind of a protection from a scary environment, a world that I felt wasn't safe, that I hated, you know, all these things. So I had to make a lot of lifestyle changes and emotional changes and do things like meditation. And I'm just wondering, was there an emotional component for you also that came into play?
And I didn't even realize, but again, this was probably the biggest thing for me or one of my greatest challenges or opportunities for growth was the emotion. And pretty much the same thing, John. I was wrapped up in keeping the weight on as far as protection, keeping myself safe, keeping people at bay, keeping people from even hurting me, again, by putting on so much weight that they wouldn't even want to be around me. After doing some meditation and really coming to finding my own and practicing a bit more presence in my life, I realized that I started to put weight on when I was 5 years old. And when I was five, it was the same time my parents separated. I really didn't know what was going on in life, and I didn't have any control. And so I just figured if I can't control that, I can control what I put inside my body, and I can keep the emotion down to a bare minimum by always stuffing my face. And getting into a point of, you know, being 10 years old and having literally 4 and 5 servings of pasta. Everybody would be done after their first serving, and I would just keep going and keep going and keep going to bury that emotion, bury that pain, so I didn't ever have to feel any of that ever again. And, of course, it started to bring about a whole new set of pains and emotions, because now I was putting on weight, and I was the biggest kid in every class and every school from elementary school to university and beyond, and of course that brought up teasing and all that stuff. But once I realized, and I remember hearing this quote, and it said, the external is a direct representation of the internal. So inside I was in turmoil, and it showed up on the outside very clearly. And as I started to actually work on healing the inner man, that's when the outside dramatically changed with me, and it required no struggle. In the past, I still wanted to hold on to those pains and try to work on the outside, which never worked, like going to the gym 2.5 hours a day, but still not losing any weight and not wondering why. But as I started to do the reverse and work on that inner man, everything changed. And also my focus and shift and intention changed, because in the past, my desire for losing weight was always based around vanity. To be quite honest, I wanted to be the guy who walked down the beach with glistening abs and, you know, all the girls diving at my feet, so to speak. And of course, I never made any kind of change with that mentality. And this was the first time in my life, stepping on the scale, seeing it 400 pounds, where I just said, you know what? I want to be alive. I want to be healthy. And as I made that shift and change and really started to nurture that inner man through practicing being in the present moment and even, you know, going through my own process of creating more awareness around the actions that I made in my life or releasing this pent-up emotion that had been there even since childhood all the way up to present day, and taking the time to let that stuff go, I noticed that the weight dropped off faster than I could have ever imagined it, and literally a lifetime of putting on weight for 29 years got knocked off in 2 years, in a healthy way where I just was feeling vibrant and excited for life every single day.
You know, it's a really common experience. You know, I talk to people, and then we try to talk about when the weight started, and they say, well, it's, you know, it was when I was 8 years old or 5 years old. My parents divorced. We moved to another city. My brother beat me up. I had an alcoholic parent. I was physically abused. There's a trauma that causes your body to react and want to hold on to weight, and that trauma has to be addressed. And once it's addressed, as you discovered, the weight comes off easy, and your body starts to crave healthier and healthier foods. So at some point in this process, it sounds like you really were able to address that really effectively, and that's made it take you to the place where you are, where it's not a struggle. And that's also what I experienced. So when you can, you know, undo that trauma, that everything kind of happens automatically. So there's a lot of similarities there. And so let me get where you're at right now. So you got 5 books out there, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. When I first started, I remember, reading a recipe on how to make raw tacos. And I always liked tacos, so I thought this would be fun. And me and a friend both took 5 hours to create these tacos. And I remember when we actually went to eat them, they were amazing, but we finished in 10 minutes. And I immediately thought, something's wrong with this picture. This is not sustainable. In my entire life, I hadn't really done much in the kitchen. I either made pasta or something on a grill, and that was it. I didn't even know how to make rice at the time, really. And so for the first time in my life, working with the real food, and again, like you've mentioned, not processed food, not bread, not things that weren't real, but actually real food, things that you could trace back to the origin. You know, it's like, yes, this is broccoli, and I could grow this in my backyard, and that's real. And as I started to work with these foods, I started to discover what it would be like to put in a spice here or a flavor there, and I just started having fun every single day. And when I started doing that, I said, you know what, this can be a lot simpler. These things can be made in 10 minutes or less. And I would actually play a game where I would go into people's refrigerators at their home and in my own home, too. And I would just make something fun out of whatever was there, just combining and enjoying. And I wrote the first book called Raw Food, Fast Food, which was just basically simple recipes, 10 minutes or less, you know, faster than takeout. So it's easy for people, and it feels feasible as something that you can do. And then it just kind of continued on with the rest of the book, you know. Yeah, well, and then I recognized, hey, one of the things in the raw food lifestyle is we're making lots of soups and salads. So the second book was Raw Food Salad Bar, which was all based on soups and salads. And then towards the end of the second year, I got really into juicing. I had heard about this idea of doing an extended juice fast, which at the time I didn't even think was possible, but I did it anyway. And so what I ended up doing was a 100-day juice cleanse. So I just had nothing but juice for 100 days, and that transformed my life in a whole other way. Yeah.
This was after you lost the weight, right?
I had lost about 140 pounds by then. And then I just did this, and this one knocked off another 55 pounds. So I lost the majority through already creating a real healthy, balanced lifestyle. And then I wanted to really test myself and overcome some fears that I had. But after I'd finished the juice cleanse, I decided to do this next book, which was called Raw Food Juice Bar. And again, it was all my favorite recipes that people could make. And then finally, you know, there was such a big craze with chocolate. And so many of my clients said, Phil, I love the taste of chocolate, but I can't eat it. I'm not into the stimulant. And so I want something different. So then I created a book based around carob, which I knew used to be really popular back in the health world like 15, 20, 25 years ago, but nobody really did much with it because they didn't know how to make it taste good. So I created a whole recipe book based on carob desserts that basically taste like chocolate without chocolate. So that's called Raw Food Carob Dessert. And then it's just continuing on with juicing. Later on in life, my wife and I just finished a new book called Get Juicy, and it's based around a website, Get Juice Cleanse, com, where we bring people through a 10-day juice cleanse so they can feel what it's like to have a balanced cleanse experience. And they can really enjoy just giving the body a break from digestion for a little bit, pressing the reset button, and then going back into a healthy eating lifestyle. So mainly recipe books and heavily focused on juicing. And I found that that's really been good, a good foundation for people to sort of transition into this lifestyle and really see what it's all about.
Sounds awesome. So where can we go to learn more about your books and your lectures, your presentations, and all of your products?
Sure. You can just visit me at philipmcclusky.com, philipmcclusky.com. Or if you're interested in juicing, just getjuicycleanse.com. And we give it all the information from the dynamics of juicing, how to go through it, and also support every single day through video and audio for the 10-day program. And we've gotten such good feedback because people just hadn't realized the idea of juicing. There's so many juice programs or detox programs that are out there right now, but they charge an arm and a leg. I mean, to do a 10-day cleanse, you're spending like $500 to $700. And it's all stuff that you can do at home. Or you can just incorporate in a real light way in your own lifestyle, even if it's just a juice a day in the morning. Very simple, very easy how to do it, and great practical tips so you can do it at home with ease. That's something that's affordable for people, and you don't have to go out and spend all this money. You can just do it right in your own home, and you feel empowered when you do that. And you gain a little bit of knowledge, and you know why you're doing it, and it works out fantastic.
I agree, Phil. You know, when I start my day out with juice, and I just started juicing more and more, especially after Hungry for Change came out, and Chris Carr and Joe Cross and Frank Ferrante.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking, even Dr. Mercola, everybody's talking about juicing. And so I started juicing more and more. And I find if I have my juice in the morning and the afternoon, if I'm drinking juices, as long as they're vegetable juices, green juices, not fruit juices, but green juices, it's changing my life. It's cleaning my body out. It's changing my cravings. I'm eating less. My body's feeling lighter and lighter. I'm feeling calmer and calmer. So juicing, for me, is definitely a big one. So your books are awesome, and I really encourage people to go to Philip's site and check out his books and his work. And Philip, you're a true inspiration for all of us. So I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, and congratulations on your success as well. You've been an amazing inspiration, and I remember even early on in my days reading your book and just being fascinated by it, and I appreciate all the wonderful work you've done as well.
Thanks very much, Phil. Take care.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.